Rick Springfield was certainly one of the early popular performers on MTV with a lot of videos. I've talked to Rick over the years about those early years and Rick and what he's doing today, and he's still just a great, great performer. In celebrating the anniversary of MTV going on the air on this day, August 1st, 1981, we're hearing comments from some of those who were part of MTV, and you'll hear comments from Rick Springfield coming up. Also still to come, comments from Simon Le Bon, John Taylor from Duran Duran, and Michael Scores, the lead singer of Flock of Seagulls. I think about that video, Iran. You know, there was just a bunch of aluminum foil in that video, and I talked to Michael about that. So you'll hear all of those comments coming up. I'm Scoot on the Air. Glad you're with us. I do it every year. We celebrate the anniversary of MTV going on the air because, well, nobody else does it, and it really is a significant milestone because so many of you can remember watching those music videos. And it was a big part of my life. And I thought, man, being a VJ would have been just the coolest thing ever. I almost got hired by VH1, which was another music channel. And I'll tell that story coming up. But MTV was just it back in the day. And you know, MTV's changed so much. And, you know, shows like, I'm Not Even Born Yet and I'm Pregnant. I Was a Teenage Republican. I mean, some of these, you know, crazy shows that they have on MTV, it's just shows. It's not music television any longer. But back in the day, it was a revolution. And I wrote a blog about that. It is posted on our website, WWL.com. You could check it out there. It's also posted on Scoot on the Air Facebook, and you can comment on it there. And yeah, let me share some of the comments from the blog that's posted on Facebook. Here's one from Kevin. It's about MTV and the music video revolution that it created. Kevin says, I agree, but I wish my kids can experience like I did. It should be 24/7 videos, mixing news, new and old stuff. Kay says, I remember the Bee Gees, Too Much Heaven, over and over, great group. John says, I would still be watching MTV if it was just the videos. That's what I miss the most about MTV. When it first came out, it was just music videos, so you could put it on and listen and enjoy the music. Can't even say it's music or it's music television anymore. Well, that's true. Gregory says, it was a pivotal time in my life. I was in college, and it was a way to get away. Thank you, Scoot. Steve says, thanks for 15 years of good music. Yeah, MTV has been on the air 43 years as of today, and 15 years were years of the music, and then it just all, in my opinion, it just, it changed. I need to check into this. I'd like to know what MTV's ratings are today, and I'll look into this. I'll try and find out during the show today. But are their ratings better now than they were back then? Because obviously they changed the shows, and the reality shows are geared to attract the audience that's there today. And maybe there is so much access to music videos on YouTube and music videos, you know, on demand. When if you want to see a music video, you can see a music video now. So maybe MTV and music videos isn't as necessary today as it once was. So I'm going to try to look into that. Robert says, Unplugged was the last worthwhile show on MTV. Jacob says, I was a teen in the big TRL days, and man, I missed that. Right before broadband internet blew up, that was the kind of only way to hear and see some things. And Barry says, cable news channels, what a waste of time, in my humble opinion. Yeah, I wrote in the blog that you know, I consumed so much TV. I was doing music radio and on B97 at the time, MTV hit the air, and would constantly reference the things that I saw on MTV. Today, I spend more time watching the cable news channels. And it's not a waste of time because of what I do. I need to keep in touch with, you know, what's going on. I try to you know, scan all of them. But I like talking about MTV on the anniversary of MTV going on the air because it was a significant moment. And there's more to me than just politics. And this is a big part of who I was. It's a big part of who I am today. So I do enjoy talking about this. And I want to remind you that, you know, you could listen to this entire show over again. And apparently Ian was telling me the numbers of downloads are really, really good. So download the Odyssey app. And you can listen to this entire show any day. You can listen to 1 hour, or you can listen to the highlights. And just download the Odyssey app, then follow me, Scoot, or just tell your smart speaker to play WWL. Also, let me mention the CBS Evening News is changing. Nora O'Donnell is stepping down, and now it's turning into a sausage fest. Well, at least that's the headline that I read. Nora O'Donnell is being replaced by two men, CBS chief political analyst John Dickerson and Maurice Dubois, who is with the CBS News affiliate in New York. They're going to co-anchor the news. I'm going to predict that CBS is not going to go anywhere in the ratings. John Dickerson may be a good chief political analyst, but he is milquetoast on the air. He's boring, and he's not going to attract new people. I mean, I'm sorry. He's just very typical. No real change there. And I don't know when these networks, these broadcast networks, are going to get with it and try and attract a younger or hipper audience, because that's not going to do it. I don't think CBS is going to change very much. Okay, let's see. So in talking about MTV, I've talked to a lot of artists over the years about MTV, and we celebrate it every year. I've talked to Rick Springfield about this, and I love his answer to this question. Because 1981, in July of 1981, Jesse's Girl was the number one song in the country. MTV went on the air August 1st, 1981. Rick Springfield wasn't on the first day, but he was on early in the rotation. So here you had a young, good-looking guy, nice music, and fun videos. And so Rick Springfield was a big part of the early years of MTV. So I asked Rick, do you remember the first time you saw Jesse's Girl on MTV?
No, I don't, actually. I think the first time I was aware that it was being watched was I was on General Hospital, and I came in, and everyone was talking about the video, and I guess they'd seen it on some cable channel. A fight had finished early, and they'd scrambled to try and find something to fill the time. So they found my cassette of the video, and they played that, and everybody saw it, and I was... It was actually before MTV started playing it. And it was, I wondered why we did a video, because no one was playing videos at that point. So it was just serendipitous, you know.
So looking back 41 years ago, Rick, from the standpoint of an artist, what was your first impression of MTV?
I thought it was kind of weird. It was just, you know, a little production. I thought it wasn't... was just another way of getting your music out there. It certainly, I don't think even they knew it was going to turn into the monster it turned into. But it, it was a good time to be to have records out, because you had two shots at it. It had the radio and they had the TV as well to try and get it across. There were some terrible videos made, and I was responsible for some of them, but it was a good thing overall.
When I think back on the productions of videos, I couldn't help but think about, from the standpoint of a performer, did the elaborate productions of the videos and all the close-ups that they had you with your doing videos, did that put added pressure on you as a performer in a concert?
At a concert?
Yeah, to pull that image off on stage.
Oh, no, not really. I mean, the concert's a whole different vibe. You can't really match that in TV. I mean, even televised concerts don't have the energy that a lot being at a live show does. So there was never any competition there at all. It was at first, you know, Jesse's Girl video cost probably about $900, you know, so, and that's the most played one of all my videos. So it's pretty funny that, you know, it really, I guess, depended on the song in the end.
Have you noticed anything different about the post-pandemic crowd?
They're very thankful, a lot more thankful than they were, and so am I. You know, every artist is thankful to be out there playing again. I think enthusiasm has been the key word.
Did the pandemic change you at all?
What's that?
Did the pandemic change you at all?
Yeah, maybe not want to be close to people, which is a bit of a bummer, but walking around your neighbors, you know, is, if you pass them on the street, is kind of weird, but... I think it's here for the long run, so we may as well just get used to it. Yeah. You know, it's going to turn into what it turns into, but it's here, so just another thing we have to live with.
What do your kids think of you? Are you just like a regular dad to them?
No, they're aware of the thing, you know, but it's not a big deal. I mean, I'm dad to them, and that's really, you know, as it should be. Yeah.
Your son's an actor, musician?
My eldest son's an actor, yeah. Youngest son's actually a school teacher, but they're both great, great people.
When you look back on what you did on General Hospital, any regrets that your career didn't take off in the acting realm better than the music realm?
No, I mean, I only had time really to you know, focus on one at that, to that degree, and the music one just took off a lot faster. The soap was, you know, it was, I don't know, it is what it was, what it was, but you never really kind of launch out of a soap opera. I did because of the music, and the popularity of the show just happened to peak at when I, you know, at the same time that I was on. It wasn't because of me, but it was, again, serendipitous. But I mean, acting has continued. I've done better roles and more interesting roles in the last probably 5 years than I've done in anything before that. So acting is a kind of thing that if you stick with it and you have some degree of understanding of it, you get better at it.
I'm sure you wouldn't have thought back then that you would be here 41 years later doing this. How does it feel?
I love to play live, you know. I still do it to get up to play a guitar. That's what I do it for. I mean, I don't really see an end to it unless I'm called, you know. So, it's not weird. It's just my gig.
Yeah, well, you look great. So it's like, you know, I mean, I think you're an example of how, you know, you take care of yourself and you can be happy, like, for a long time.
Yeah, health's always been number one for me above anything, and enjoying what, you know, what I do is really the key to, for me, to having a relatively happy life.
Right before you go on stage, right before you start a show, what do you say to yourself?
I wonder what's for dinner.
Rick Springfield backstage is about to go on stage here at the IP Casino in Biloxi. And, you know, we're going to reminisce about MTV on the show Monday, and wanted you to be part of it because MTV was such a big part of the early part of your career.
Yeah, it was. It was, again, a fortuitous thing that I think it helped everybody that was involved in it. It helped them, certainly. I don't know as far as a long-term thing, because I think, again, it's up to the music to have the longevity. I don't think a video has any longevity other than the power of the music, but it was a great tool for sure.
But it's got to feel great that people are still responding to your songs.
Yeah. No, I mean, you mean now?
Yeah.
Yeah, I know, it's great. I'm very, very proud of that and happy for that, and that's why I go out and play is to, you know, a communion with people who want to be here, and it's our little church.
Rick, thanks a lot, man.
Thanks.
All right. You know, anybody who's seen Rick Springfield live knows that he just loves performing live and continues to do it. Last time I saw him was at the IP Casino. He's been on tour this summer with Richard Marx, an artist who was popular in the later part of the 80s. They're friends. They're doing an acoustic set. And if you have a chance to see him, go see him because it's a lot of fun. Rick does his songs. Richard does his songs. And they sing on each other's songs, and it really was a great, great show. But always enjoy seeing and talking to Rick Springfield. When we come back, we'll hear from Simon Le Bon and John Taylor from Duran Duran on their memory of MTV. This is the day MTV went on the air in 1981. I'm Scoot, and we'll be right back on WWL. So I was on B97 in the mid-80s, and, you know, there's this new British invasion. It really started about, I guess, 82. Anyway, so, you know, we get this new music from this band, Duran Duran, and I'm going, like, I love this. I just fell in love with this music immediately. And when I think about MTV, I think about Duran Duran. I talked to Simon Le Bon. He doesn't do many interviews, but I was really grateful that he agreed to do an interview with me. And I talked briefly with him about a number of things, but he talked briefly about MTV. And to me, in America, MTV saw the birth of Duran Duran. You know, we didn't know about Duran Duran until MTV. Now, they were doing things in the UK, but to me, Duran Duran was a band born on MTV. So I was always interested, and I wrote this in the blog and talked about this earlier on the show, I was always interested in how a band like Duran Duran, essentially born on MTV in America, how they were going to satisfy the audience that was used to seeing close-ups of them.
How are they going to satisfy an audience in a live concert setting? And so I talked to Simon Le Bon. I asked him, I said, you guys really understood that right away.
Well, we were the, we were the first band to take big screens on, and put them on stage behind us. If you remember, at the time, it wasn't just one single screen.
Right.
It was about six big screens tacked together.
I remember it well. And every time there would be a close-up of you or Nick or John or anybody, I mean, the different people in the crowd would just scream.
Yeah.
Yeah, and so it was really kind of interesting to just watch that happen. And that was the first time I saw videos in a live concert situation. But Duran Duran just had such an interesting story. And, you know, it was their fashion. And, you know, this was when I was starting to change my fashion style as well. I was definitely open for fashion change and started to pick up some of the things that I was seeing. And, I can think back on some of the stuff that I wore in the 80s, and it might be a little embarrassing today. But, you know, I mean, they were the lavender parachute pants and the loose-fitting sleeveless shirt and the headband, leg warmers and all that kind of stuff. And I got all of that from MTV. I also talked to John Taylor of Duran Duran. He was one of the other heartthrobs in the band. And I talked to John about those video screens were just such a great innovation.
Well, I don't think, I wouldn't say we were a band that were born on MTV, really. I think that we were a band that was born in the clubs, and we were very much an art school band when we came together. And we were like in that post-punk generation. You know, we all but one of us got into playing music because we were into punk rock. And but then we were kind of in that second wave, which embraced electronics, embraced dance rhythms, embraced a kind of poetry, I suppose you could say, that wasn't in that first wave of punk bands. I mean, MTV completely took us by surprise. We did a video for our first single, Planet Earth, and we were fortunate enough to connect with one of the real movers in that burgeoning video scene that was in London at the time. And we did a video which really blew our own socks off, actually. And then it became very apparent that we were a band that was made for video, if you like. Video really, really worked for Duran Duran. And yeah, I mean, when MTV was launched, they were very happy to play Duran videos. And yes, that's what really, and it really brought it home in this country. Yeah.
Yeah, because they were a bunch of pretty Nancy boys. I mean, they were really, you know, they were cute guys, and they had the style and they had the music. And, you know, Duran Duran, when they were big, they were as big as a rock band can be. And I love that they're still performing today. And again, if you get a chance to see Duran Duran, man, go see them. So they were just one of those bands that really was popular on MTV. You know, one of the great things about the Odyssey app, and you can download it free, it's a free app for you, is that if you want to go back and listen to this entire show and the last 2 hours of the show, 2 o'clock and 3 o'clock hour, we've just talked about MTV. And earlier, I replayed my interview with Alan Hunter, one of the original VJs on MTV, talking about that first night MTV went on the air, talking about his audition for MTV to be a VJ. So all of that was in the last hour. And with the Odyssey app, you can go back and listen to an entire hour, listen to the entire show, or listen to some of the highlights of the show. And when I was on the air in Portland, Nina Blackwood came in the studio with me, and I had a great interview with Nina Blackwood, and she was interesting. And, you know, I've talked to Mark Goodwin on the air, and J.J. Jackson was the African-American VJ. He passed away a couple of years ago, sadly. But the others are, you know, doing well, and I think they all have shows, Martha Quinn included, on Sirius Radio. So anyway, download the Odyssey app and you can check out all of this stuff and more. All right, so I talked to Michael Scores. Michael Scores was the guy with the wild hair on MTV. Well, he was the lead singer of Flock of Seagulls. And he had that hair that looked like a wave in Malibu. You know, the wild, curvy hair. I mean, it was a signature haircut back in the 80s. And I talked to Michael Scores, and I told him that, you know, I can't use aluminum foil today without thinking about the video for the song Iran?
Only to block aliens. the thing is that we didn't really know what a video was about in those days. We were very innocent, really, as a band. And we had a really small budget, and we got a producer and cameraman. And they came up with this idea that, we only need one camera. We don't need a set. We'll just build one out of tin foil and stuff like that. And I think we got given £100 to buy clothes so that we looked okay in the video. So we went up to some cheap girls' clothing things and bought some jackets and stuff like that, because we didn't want to be, men's suave jackets. We came back, and they'd built this set that they could twist and shake, and the camera was in the middle all covered. So it became mirrors, and I think it cost less than £5,000 to do the whole thing. So I remember we filmed it, and I think it was like 2 hours, and then it got edited in the next 2 hours, and then we came back to the studio to see it, and the record company says, "So what do you think?" And we're like, "It's us. It looks good. We like it." And they're like, "Good, because MTV are going to start playing it tomorrow." And I remember thinking, how are they going to get it across to New York overnight? But they did. And then the next thing you know, boom, it's on MTV. I think every other hour or every hour or something like that, which to us was just like our world exploded then,
It was certainly one of the signature videos on MTV.
Yeah, the video for the song Iran with the mirrors, and the thing was the keyboard, and Michael Scores were just, moving around, and the camera moving around them with the aluminum foil. But isn't it interesting when you hear the theme through all of these people talking about the early years of MTV, talking about how they didn't even know what they were dealing with, that MTV was so new to them that it was just developing as they were involved in it, and they really didn't have a concept for a music video and what that meant and what it would ultimately mean. And also when Michael Scores talked about going and buying women's jackets instead of men's jackets, I think that just demonstrates the androgyny. There was a carryover from the 70s. There was a lot of androgyny in music in the 70s and really in the 80s. And a lot of the artists wore guyliner and mascara and very androgynous clothing. Men, women could wear the same clothes. And, this idea of somebody truly being trans today, it's really not that foreign to the baby boomer generation who was exposed to. And I know there's a difference between trans and androgyny, but we're talking about men that appear to be feminine, men that have a feminine side. And a lot of the artists in the mid-80s and even 70s with like Led Zeppelin and Robert Plant and Mick Jagger, they had a very feminine side on stage. All right, I'm Scoot, and we'll be right back on WWL. And in the 90s, groups like Counting Crows were dominating MTV. On the Scoot on the Air Rock Culture Calendar, happy birthday today to Adam Duritz, the lead singer of Counting Crows, the guy who had wild hair there for a while. Adam is 60 years old today, and Adam was in New Orleans, this was not maybe a couple of years ago. He was in New Orleans, and Adam actually has connections to New Orleans. So in my conversation with him, I asked him about being happy to be back in New Orleans because of his connections here.
I don't know if you know how big a part of my life New Orleans has been. I arrived in New Orleans. I'd been going to Jazz Fest for a few years, but when I arrived there to play Tipitina's, April of 94, the girl I was dating at the time, she introduced me to her friend from elementary school, who was Ben Elman, who was just starting to be the sax player in a band called Galactic back then, and now, of course, been in it as long as I've been in Counting Crows.
Yeah.
And pretty soon after that, half of my friends in New Orleans all moved out to live with me. You can hear them on this record, too. Curtis Watson plays the trumpet on Angel of 14th Street, and he was the leader of Soul Rebels Brass Band. They opened for us that year in 94, and we became friends back then. In the video, Curtis couldn't make it to the video because he lives in Atlanta, so Andre Carter, who played trumpet with Curtis in Buckwheat Zydeco's band, is the trumpet player in the video we made of Angel 14th Street. My house for years in New Orleans, in L.A., was completely stocked with New Orleans musicians and writers. Yeah. The city has been so important to me over the years. 7 of my dearest friends come from there. I cannot wait to get down there and see everybody.
Adam Duritz, who's 60 years old today, a part of Counting Crows. And yeah, he actually spent time with Susan Cowsill. And they went through a big flood together, and they were caught in the flood together. Adam was staying, I think, was staying with her at the time. You know, also MTV, there was a struggle over whether or not MTV, and Alan Hunter talked about this in my conversation with him. All the VJs thought they should be playing more black videos. And I think Michael Jackson, Billie Jean was the first, but there's some conversations about maybe there were a few before that. But MTV finally got into playing more black videos, and then MTV even evolved into hip-hop and doing a lot of hip-hop and rap. A lot of the original MTV people felt alienated by that, but MTV welcomed a lot of people, and it wasn't just African-Americans. It was also white kids from the suburbs who were into hip-hop and rap. So, you know, MTV has evolved over the years. I haven't had a chance to check the ratings, and if I don't have a chance to do it today, in fact, I won't have a chance to do it while I'm on the air. I'll do that, and maybe we'll talk about that tomorrow. Let's go to Ian with some of your text messages.
Here's a text message that says, "Yo, MTV Raps was iconic. Nobody ever talks about the hip-hop content on MTV back in the day. Ed Lover and Dr. Dre, the fat one, were hilarious."
Yeah, they had very creative. They had very creative videos on MTV. But again, MTV was marketing to targeting a specific young audience, and the audience that was there in the beginning and in some of the early years had changed, or they felt that they had changed, and they went on to do some other things that they thought were appealing to the new young audience.
Here's a text that says, "My earliest memory of MTV was as a freshman in Metairie in high school, riding my bike to my friend's house because we couldn't afford cable, and being entranced by Duran Duran, Madonna, Michael Jackson. I still feel like that was a magical time for my development as a young man and for music and culture."
Yeah, not everybody had MTV, and sometimes people would go to another friend's house. There was a lot of controversy. The androgyny was very controversial in the mid-80s, and actually, I would say into the late 80s. The androgyny on MTV was a big topic of discussion, and the sex, there was violence in music videos, and really a lot of sex. The Whitesnake videos, Aerosmith videos to some degree, there was a lot of sex, and that was a point of criticism. Madonna's videos, one of the video that Ian remembers really first paying attention to was Express Yourself by Madonna, and Madonna was very sexual in her videos. So, you know, even though there's a conversation about sex in music and sex in entertainment today, this ain't nothing new. I mean, this was happening when MTV was first going on the air.
Here's a text that says, "Hey, Scoot, happy 43rd birthday to MTV. My favorite MTV show was a game show in the 1980s called Remote Control with host Kenneth Ober. I believe that Remote Control was MTV's first original non-musical program and first game show to air on MTV. Comedians Adam Sandler and Dennis Leary were on the show. Liquid Television and Eon Flux were also very cool shows. Love your show. Have a great day. Thank you. PJ, hey, Army Vet in Hawaii."
Hey, appreciate that. In Hawaii?
Yeah.
Oh, thanks for listening in Hawaii.
Yeah, and, PJ, listen to Hawaii, man.
Yeah, appreciate that. And thank you for your service to our country.
Well, I'm glad that he mentioned Liquid Television and Eon Flux, because that's the kind of, that was like MTV after midnight for me, you know, in like sixth grade. You know, we could come home after school and watch whatever was on in the afternoon. But then when the parents went to bed, you could see the weird stuff. You could see Eon Flux and the Max and the Head and whatever the hell they were doing on Liquid Television. Those freaks. God, that was good TV.
I loved when they did pop-up videos, where they would be like the little cartoon-like explanation.
Yeah. Well, that was on VH1, wasn't it?
Was that VH1?
Yep.
Yeah.
Pop-up video?
Yeah, I guess
so.
Yeah,
definitely.
Yeah, I almost got hired.
Yeah, I want to hear more about that.
Look, I got a phone call from VH1, and they wanted me to come to New York to interview. So I flew to New York and interviewed for VH1, and this woman, I sat in the office with her, and this woman saw some of my video stuff and some of the interviews that I'd done. And this woman wanted to hire me, and she wanted me to be part of some special projects on VH1.
Mm-hmm.
And like, I really felt like I was on the verge of being hired by VH1. And for whatever reason, the woman was part of a cutback, and she got let go. And I didn't end up on VH1. But hey, look, here sucks. I am here. If that would have happened, who knows where my life would have gone. And I love the way my life has gone now. So it all worked out for the best.
I'll leave you with this one. Simply Irresistible is still the best video by a mile.
You know, it's really one of the great ones that people remember. I mean, very sexual, but in a very tasteful kind of way. You know, the black skirts and the red lipstick and the slick back hair. You know, and those girls looked rather androgynous. I mean, they were not fembots. I mean, they were not frilly frou-frou girls. You know, they were kind of masculine looking in some ways with their hair slicked back. But the androgyny on MTV, I remember this when I was on the air. I remember this being a point of contention, and a lot of parents were not happy with it. So, but anyway, everybody turned out okay, right? All right, there's a lot going on the Scoot on the Air Facebook page. Check out the stuff, comment on it. I will comment on some of your comments. Send me a message there, and I will get to some of your comments. All right, we're going to come back to wrap up the show. And then, of course, in the 90s, when Nirvana hit and grunge hit, grunge redefined MTV, and the angst, the anger that was represented from a young generation in the music really became the definition of MTV at the time. I'm Scoot, and we'll be back on WWL. Oh, I remember this one. On the SOTA Rock Culture Calendar, today we wish a happy birthday to Joe Elliott, lead singer of Def Leppard. Joe is 65 years old today. It has been fun remembering the anniversary of MTV. Went on the air on this day, August 1st, 1981. First football game of the season on tonight. It's the NFL Hall of Fame game between the Bears and the Texans. Olympics continue. NFL football tonight. Gotta love it. Sports Talk with Bobby, Mike, and Steve coming up next. They'll have a lot to talk about. Want to thank our program director and brand manager, Diane Newman, assistant program director and brand manager and senior producer of Scoot on the Air, Ian Hoke, market manager, Dan Barron, news anchor, Chris Miller, and traffic with Joe Cardosi. As always, I thank all of you for being part of our show. I'm Scoot. Have a great afternoon. Love you, New Orleans. And in the 90s, groups like Counting Crows were dominating MTV. On the Scoot on the Air Rock Culture Calendar, happy birthday today to Adam Duritz, the lead singer of Counting Crows, the guy who had wild hair there for a while. Adam is 60 years old today. And Adam was in New Orleans, and this was not maybe a couple of years ago. He was in New Orleans, and Adam actually has connections to New Orleans. So in my conversation with him, I asked him about being happy to be back in New Orleans because of his connections here.
I don't know if you know how big a part of my life New Orleans has been. I arrived in New Orleans. I mean, I'd been going to Jazz Fest for a few years, but when I arrived there to play Tipitina's, April of 94, the girl I was dating at the time, she introduced me to her friend from elementary school, who was Ben Elman, who is just starting to be the sax player in a band called Galactic back then, and now, of course, been in it as long as I've been in Counting Crows.
Yeah.
And pretty soon after that, half of my friends in New Orleans all moved out to live with me. You can hear them on this record, too. Curtis Watson plays the trumpet on Angel of 14th Street, and he was the leader of Soul Rebels Brass Band. They opened for us that year in 94, and, you know, we became friends back then. In the video, Curtis couldn't make it to the video because he lives in Atlanta, so Andre Carter, who played trumpet with Curtis in Buckwheat Zydeco's band, is the trumpet player in the video we made of Angel 14th Street. In my house for years in New Orleans, in L.A., was completely stocked with New Orleans musicians and writers. Yeah. The city has been so important to me over the years. Seven of my dearest friends come from there. I cannot wait to get down there and see everybody.
Adam Duritz, who's 60 years old today, a part of Counting Crows. And he actually spent time with Susan Cowsill. And they went through a big flood together, and they were caught in the flood together. Adam was staying with her at the time. You know, also MTV, there was a struggle over whether or not MTV, and Alan Hunter talked about this in my conversation with him. All the VJs thought they should be playing more black videos. And I think Michael Jackson, Billie Jean was the first, but there's some conversations about maybe there were a few before that. But MTV finally got into playing more black videos, and then MTV even evolved into hip-hop and doing a lot of hip-hop and rap. A lot of the original MTV people felt alienated by that, but MTV welcomed a lot of people, and it wasn't just African-Americans. It was also white kids from the suburbs who were into hip-hop and rap. So, you know, MTV has evolved over the years. I haven't had a chance to check the ratings, and if I don't have a chance to do it today, in fact, I won't have a chance to do it while I'm on the air. I'll do that, and maybe we'll talk about that tomorrow. Let's go to Ian with some of your text messages.
Here's a text message that says, "Yo, MTV Raps was iconic. Nobody ever talks about the hip-hop content on MTV back in the day. Ed Lover and Dr. Dre, the fat one, were hilarious."
Yeah, they had very creative. They had very creative videos on MTV. But again, MTV was marketing to targeting a specific young audience, and the audience that was there in the beginning and in some of the early years had changed, or they felt that they had changed, and they went on to do some other things that they thought were appealing to the new young audience.
Here's a text that says, "My earliest memory of MTV was as a freshman in Metairie in high school, riding my bike to my friend's house because we couldn't afford cable, and being entranced by Duran, Madonna, Michael Jackson. I still feel like that was a magical time for my development as a young man and for music and culture."
Yeah, not everybody had MTV, and sometimes people would go to another friend's house. There was a lot of controversy. The androgyny was very controversial in the mid-80s, and actually, I would say into the late 80s. The androgyny on MTV was a big topic of discussion, and the sex, there was violence in music videos, and really a lot of sex. The Whitesnake videos, Aerosmith videos to some degree. There was a lot of sex, and that was a point of criticism. Madonna's videos, one of the video that Ian remembers really first paying attention to was Express Yourself by Madonna, and Madonna was very sexual in her videos. So, you know, even though there's a conversation about sex in music and sex in entertainment today, this ain't nothing new. I mean, this was happening when MTV was first going on the air.
Here's a text that says, "Hey, Scoot, happy 43rd birthday to MTV. My favorite MTV show was a game show in the 1980s called Remote Control with host Kenneth Ober. I believe that Remote Control was MTV's first original non-musical program and first game show to air on MTV. Comedians Adam Sandler and Dennis Leary were on the show. Liquid Television and Eon Flux were also very cool shows. Love your show. Have a great day. Thank you. PJ, hey, Army Vet in Hawaii."
Hey, appreciate that. In Hawaii?
Yeah.
Oh, thanks for listening in Hawaii.
Yeah, and, PJ, listen to Hawaii, man.
Yeah, appreciate that. And thank you for your service to our country.
Well, I'm glad that he mentioned Liquid Television and Eon Flux, because that's the kind of, that was like MTV after midnight for me, you know, in like sixth grade. You know, we could come home after school and watch whatever was on in the afternoon. But then when the parents went to bed, you could see the weird stuff. You could see Eon Flux and the Max and the Head and whatever the hell they were doing on Liquid Television. Those freaks. God, that was good TV.
I loved when they did pop-up videos, where they would be like the little cartoon-like explanation.
Yeah. Well, that was on VH1, wasn't it?
Yeah, something. Yeah. Was that VH1?
Yep.
Yeah.
Pop-up video.
Yeah, I guess
yeah,
so.
Yeah, definitely.
I guess so. Yeah, I almost got hired.
Yeah, I want to hear more about that.
Look, I got a phone call. I got a phone call from VH1, and they wanted me to come to New York to interview. So I flew to New York and interviewed for VH1, and this woman, I sat in the office with her, and this woman saw some of my video stuff and some of the interviews that I'd done, and this woman wanted to hire me, and she wanted me to be part of some special projects on VH1.
Mm-hmm.
And like, I really felt like I was on the verge of being hired by VH1. And for whatever reason, the woman was part of a cutback, and she got let go. And I didn't end up on VH1. But hey, look, here sucks. I am here. If that would have happened, who knows where my life would have gone. And I love the way my life has gone now. So it all worked out for the best.
I'll leave you with this one. Simply Irresistible is still the best video by a mile.
You know, it's really one of the great ones that people remember. I mean, very sexual, but in a very tasteful kind of way. You know, the black skirts and the red lipstick and the slick back hair. You know, and those girls looked rather androgynous. I mean, they were not fembots. I mean, they were not frilly, frilly, frou-frou girls.
you know, they were kind of masculine looking in some ways with their hair slicked back. But yeah, the androgyny on MTV, I remember this when I was on the air. I remember this being a point of contention, and a lot of parents were not happy with it. So, but anyway, everybody turned out okay, right? All right, there's a lot going on the Scoot on the Air Facebook page. Check out the stuff, comment on it. I will comment on some of your comments. Send me a message there, and I will get to some of your comments. All right, we're going to come back to wrap up the show. And then, of course, in the 90s, when Nirvana hit and grunge hit, grunge redefined MTV, and the angst, the anger that was represented from a young generation in the music really became the definition of MTV at the time. I'm Scoot, and we'll be back on WWL. Oh, I remember this one. On the SOTA Rock Culture Calendar, today we wish a happy birthday to Joe Elliott, lead singer of Def Leppard. Joe is 65 years old today. It has been fun remembering the anniversary of MTV. Went on the air on this day, August 1st, 1981. First football game of the season on tonight. It's the NFL Hall of Fame game between the Bears and the Texans. Olympics continue. NFL football tonight. Gotta love it. Sports Talk with Bobby, Mike, and Steve coming up next. They'll have a lot to talk about. Want to thank our program director and brand manager, Diane Newman, assistant program director and brand manager and senior producer of Scoot on the Air, Ian Hoke, market manager, Dan Barron, news anchor, Chris Miller, and traffic with Joe Cardosi. As always, I thank all of you for being part of our show. I'm Scoot. Have a great afternoon. Love you, New Orleans.